This morning, I want to start a series that will take us through the month of January on the topic of grow. And one thing I'm going to do this year every week, and I'm going to go through the first 31 Sundays of the year, doing it chapter by chapter. RJ, let me hand this to you because I'm afraid I'm going to knock it off up here. Thanks. Proverbs has 31 chapters. For the first 31 weeks, we'll do chapter 1, then chapter 2 next week, then chapter 3. And I'll pull out a verse or two. But I want to encourage you with this. Here's why I think studying Proverbs is important. If you got the notes, or I don't know if you guys can get that online, the NLT, Proverbs 1, 2, and 4. Don't know if you have it pulled up or not. But here is what the writer says. The purpose, and in parentheses, the words I put in there just for clarification, of this book is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. Here's what Solomon says. By reading and studying and applying the Proverbs in these three verses, he says there are eight benefits. Here they are, wisdom. How many of you want wisdom? Say amen. Then read the book. How many of you would like to have discipline in your life that leads you to make the right decision, not the easy decision, the productive decision, not the one that is the simplest? How many of you would like to have understanding? How many of you would like to be successful in the way that God counts success? How many of you like to live an appropriate life where you always do what is right, just, and fair? To have insight, to have knowledge, to have discernment. So there's some great verses I could have used. I think it's verse 7 that says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Later on, there are other verses. If sinners entice you to go with them, do not go. Here's what you have to understand about Proverbs, about life. Everybody's going somewhere. You're on a path whether you recognize it or not. And Jesus said the path only leads to one of two places, life or death. If you're on the wrong path, you're going to wind up in the wrong place. And if you're on the wrong path, here's the good news. God will move you to the right path if you allow him. When you're on the right path, it leads to life. It may be a long journey. It may have bumps. It may have difficulties, but it will get to the right place. Proverbs tells us how to get on that right spot. So that's the proverb for the week. I want to encourage you to do this. Whatever else you're doing in your personal growth and development, just for this first 31 weeks, maybe anyway, especially, I want to encourage you to read the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, every day this week. It only takes a few minutes. It's not a long read. You may have the ability to print it out on your printer. If you have a Bible program, you may be able to download it and play it in your car as you're going to work during the day. If you need help with any of those things, call the staff here and they'll be glad to help you figure some of those things out. I'll provide Proverbs 1 in print for you if you want it. Let us know how we can help you grow in God. But I want to encourage you to read the Proverbs 1 a week for the next 31 weeks. And let's see what God can show us. I want to talk about the need for growth today. In our example, Jesus Christ, the Bible says this about him in Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. He grew four ways. He grew mentally, more than just mental, but the development of who he is, his personality. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew physically. That's the one we can all say, yeah, we can do that one, right? He grew spiritually in favor with God. Isn't that an amazing thought that the Son of God, the sinless Messiah, the Bible says that he grew in favor with God. I think it's more for an example for us, and that doesn't indicate there was any deficiency in him. But the reality is, the more we obey God, the more we grow in our favor with him. And he grew in favor with all the people. That speaks of his relational growth. Growth that we need to have, the growth that God wants to give us, it comes through devotion. It requires our devotion to God. Here's what Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verse 12. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Paul says to Titus, turn away from the things of this world and turn to God with complete devotion. One of the interesting things about the word devotion, when you look at its usage, especially in the Old Testament, the word devotion often was tied to devoted for destruction. So we think of devotion as a positive thing, and it is that, but there are some things that we just need to mark with an X that they're dead to us. They're devoted to destruction. We're going to say no to sin. We're going to say no to temptation. When it comes, we will stand in the power of the grace of God and say no to sin. God's grace teaches us to say no to sin and yes to godliness. This year, I want to make a commitment and ask you to make the commitment with me that we will grow closer to God in 2022. We're going to grow closer to God. We're going to spend time with Him. We want His presence to saturate us. James 4, 7 and 8 says this, so humble yourselves before God. Humility is always the beginning point, the foundation of growing close to God. Resist the devil. We say no to the devil. We push against him. And the Bible says when you resist him, and how do we do that? In the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit, and the devil will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Isn't that a great promise? One writer said this about that. He says, we might think of coming close to God as a time of public worship or private prayers, and those are two ways that we come close to God. He said, we may think of coming close to God as repenting, and if we have sinned, we need to repent and know that He will forgive us. And he says, when we come near to God, we worship Him, we serve Him, we meet Him, we seek His help, we gain assurance as well as to repent. But he says, James is offering much more here. He's offering a far-reaching promise, a promise that other religions do not make, a promise that other gods will not make. When we draw near to God, He draws near to us. Moses said this in Deuteronomy 4, 7, when what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Aren't you glad that when you call on God, He is very near to you? Wash your hands. That speaks of our actions. You sinners, purify your hearts. That speaks of our attitudes, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Here's the truth of life, and this will come out every week in this series. When you stop growing, you start dying. Growth is a lifelong process. Maybe another word for growth to help you get just your head wrapped around it, but to improve, to get better at, to mature, to develop. And how many of you know that immaturity is never attractive or productive? Excuses must be eliminated. We must have a daily consistency of growing in God. And the truth is, one of the excuses some people make is, well, life is hard, and that's why I lose control. That's why I can't keep it together. Let me tell you something, that a lot of people have this a little bit mistaken, but problems don't develop your character. They reveal your character. You have to develop character before you get to the point of crisis. You don't all of a sudden gain patience just because a crisis occurs. You've got to be developing that before you get there, and the crisis will reveal your character, but it won't grow your character. And the truth is, growth is most evident when difficulty is the strongest. God's desire to have a relationship, for us to grow close to Him, is a major theme of the Bible. David understands this when in Psalm 73, verse 28, David says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, my place of dwelling, my place of safety. And I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. You know, God's plan for you and I is that we would be near him and he would be near us, not distant. He wants you to have more than a superficial relationship with him, a mechanical relationship. He wants a vibrant, intimate relationship with you. Isaiah 29:13, God speaks of Israel and says, these people come near me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips or their words, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. And that speaks of legalism. See, you can do things that look good on the surface, but if your heart's not drawn toward God, they're empty and shallow and they will fall apart. We do the right thing because we are devoted to him. The book of Hebrews issues four commands about growing closer to God. Let me look at them real quick with you here this morning. The first one comes from Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. Let us come near. Let us draw near. Let us approach his throne with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Aren't you glad that because of Jesus, he provides for us access to everyone who believes in him, everyone who calls on his name? Through Jesus Christ, we have connection. Through him, we can approach the Father. And he says here, we can do it with boldness and with confidence. It's something that we can do with certainty because of Jesus. And look at what he says will happen. He says, we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we come to him with confidence, with boldness, not because of who we are, but because of what Christ did, we can come with confidence knowing that he will hear us and he will help us. I love what Paul wrote about the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, and at just the right time, when it was the right moment, Jesus Christ came. It had been hundreds of years, but it was the right moment. Can I tell you that God's precision in timing is without question? You may not see it. You may be saying, hurry up, God. Can I get a witness? But God's timing is always perfect. Keep believing, keep holding, keep praying, be bold, be confident. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we can trust God. Romans 5:2, Paul says, we have also obtained access through Christ by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 3:12, in him, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Isn't it great to have access with God? A man that I knew as a child growing up was a great singer, great songwriter, and he wrote a song many years ago that made this statement so simple yet so profound. He is as close as the mention of his name. When you call on the name of Jesus, he will be there. We have access to God. Therefore, we should boldly come into his presence. We should approach him. We should draw near. The second command comes out of Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him, those who draw near, for those who approach him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Jesus Christ offers to us salvation. And when we draw close to God, when we come close to him, we will not be pushed away. We will not be told that we're not qualified. We will not be told that provision has already been depleted, but he will always welcome us with open arms. He will never turn us away, but he will welcome us and bring us into salvation. Don't you love the phrases that are in that verse that are so strong? Therefore, he is able. That's the first thing we have to understand, the ability of God. There's no limitation to who Jesus can save. Some people are just one prayer away from heaven. Keep praying, keep believing. Maybe there's someone in your family, a friend or a neighbor, a coworker you've been praying for months or maybe even years, and you think in your heart, I don't know if this will ever happen. Can I just encourage you that they may be one prayer away? And if you've been praying for 3 years, you're 3 years closer to victory than when you started. Don't give up hope. He is able. I love the next phrase, once and forever. What Jesus Christ did was the full payment for everyone forever. And he will save those who draw near to God through him. The third thing we see comes in Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a pure heart in full confidence. Let us draw near to him. Let us have confidence in him. Let us have purity in our heart, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. The NIV reads this way, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. One version I read said this way, God desires a sincere heart and a strong faith. Isn't that a great combination? A sincere heart, that means that we are doing our best to be pure in God's sight, but we also have a strong faith in his ability. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. As we look at this passage and we see the faithfulness of God, he is faithful. We see that his cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ gives us purity, and we're not pure because of our goodness, we're pure because of his forgiveness and his cleansing. Now, I've said this many times, and I just want to keep saying it to make sure it gets into your heart. I would never advocate that it's not a big deal if we sin and grace just covers it and don't worry about it, because grace never leads you towards sin. Grace always leads you toward holiness. It is a perversion of grace to think that somehow that gives me a license to sin. However, when we do sin, when we do allow the wrong thing to come in our heart, we do allow the wrong thing to come out of our mouth, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Our goal and our power through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is that we continue to grow in holiness, becoming like Jesus. Because he is faithful and because he has cleansed our hearts, because he has made us a new creation, we see his faithfulness and we hold on to the confession of our faith and of our hope without wavering. We don't give up. We don't even budge. We are strong in holding to that confession. You know, I think when you look at things from a human perspective, even well-intended human perspective, I don't mean evil or in contrast to God, we just have a limited view. And typically, most of us, most of us are optimistic in our view of life. The pessimist kind of drives most of us crazy if they think everything's going to be bad all the time and just go downhill. But the reality is, there are problems in life. We've never been given a statement of somehow avoidance of issues. And a couple of years ago, many churches started out, because we're so creative and clever as pastors, that we come up with very obvious themes, which are right in front of everybody. And we labeled 2020 the year of perfect vision. And then COVID hit, and we said, I think there was something in my eye. My vision wasn't 2020. And so we had to kind of check out how we're going to maneuver through that and work our way back out of there. The reality is, we don't always know what's going to happen to us, but we know that we can have confidence in this. God is faithful. Amen. So I'm going to say this real clear for you. This will be a great year, regardless of our circumstances. I pray that our circumstances improve. Half of our staff today is home because either they've tested positive or they were exposed or whatever, and they're kind of having to lay low for a couple of days. And I wish all of this would be gone. But listen to me, whether it goes or stays, it's going to be a good year because God is faithful. I will not allow temporary circumstances to dim or cloud my view of eternity. It's amazing that Paul wrote some of his best work while he was in prison. And particularly the book of Philippians, while he was in prison, has this reoccurring theme throughout the book that says, be joyful, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice, always be joyful. This is going to be a great year because God is faithful. I pray that our circumstances improve. I pray that COVID would be eliminated. I pray that health would be restored and that we would get back to a place where we're not afraid to shake hands or we feel like we have to wear a mask. That is not a slam for anyone who's concerned. And please use diligence and prudence in all of your activities. I don't think washing your hands was a new idea. You should have heard that when you were a kid. And I don't know if social distancing is a new idea, but it's not a bad one. It's okay to shake hands, but we don't have to get right in people's face. Can I get a witness? Whatever happens in life, here's what I know. God is faithful, God is good, and God is greater. And I'm going to hold to that truth unwaveringly. I'm going to hold to that truth in confidence. I'm going to draw near to God with a pure heart because He is faithful. The fourth thing I see there is this, that drawing near to God requires trusting Him in faith. God wants us to experience the fullness of being His child, of walking with Him in faith, of entrusting Him our very lives. The writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 11, verse 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. We've got to believe in God. We've got to trust in God. See, biblical knowledge should fuel our trust in God. We should trust Him greater because we know His Word. Knowing God's Word is not simply about some mental capacity of gaining information, but knowing God's Word helps us to know God. It helps us to have faith. It helps us to trust Him. It helps us to believe in Him. God's plan for you and for me is that we would draw near to Him and we would experience the fullness of His blessing. We draw near to Him through faith in Christ. God watches for those who are committed to Him, whose hearts fully trust Him, trust His promises, live according to His Word, and He will come to our support and our strength. He will manifest Himself to us. We draw near in faith. We put our trust in all of His precious and great promises. Sometimes we think about knowing God that it has to do with creating the right environment. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something more than just the aesthetics of an event. Maybe we think it's we memorize enough of the Bible. There's more than that. It's not the quantity of your knowledge or the quality of your event that impresses God. It's a heart of trust that longs to know him in his fullness. How do you draw near to God? Well, there's many, many things I could say to you about that. Let me give you four points of application for today. How do you grow close to God? Number one, you spend time in the Word. I'm going to encourage you to read the Word. Almost half of the books in the Bible can be read in 30 minutes or less. If you want to know, well, where's a good place to start, I've given the list out before. I'm going to have it for you probably next Sunday, I think, of the list of the books of the Bible, how long it takes to read and what the basic theme or synopsis of that book is, in probably a 2-page handout that you can look at. It'll also be on the website. Most of the books can be read in 30 minutes. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Take the book of Philippians, which I think takes about 14, 15 minutes to read. Read that every day for a week. Read it till you know where you're getting to before you get there. Read the book of Colossians for a week. Read the book of James for a week. Now, some of the books, the longest book in the Bible to read, I believe, if I'm right, I think it's the Psalms. It takes about 5 hours to read through Psalms. Maybe do 30 minutes a day and do 5 days of that, and you'll read through all of the Psalms in 1 week. There's not a book in the Bible that you can't read through in a week pretty easily. And by the way, that timing, I think, is based on like 150 words a minute in your reading capacity. Now, I tested mine, and I'm not the brightest or the sharpest around, but mine was close to 300, and they say 400 is even normal for many people, even if you don't have speed reading. That takes it up like to 1,000. These are not like, oh, yeah, well, nobody can do that. Yes, all of us can do that. Most of us can do that for sure. And if it's not about the quantity again, it's about the heart that seeks to know God. Read his word. Read it slow. Let it sink in. Most of Paul's letters, the exclusion of Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, beyond those three, I think all the rest of them are 30 minutes or less. Some of them are like 10 minutes. And a couple of the real short ones, like Philemon, is like 3 minutes. You could watch that during the commercial of a football game. You could read that. It's not hard. It can be done. That's how you're going to know God, is to know his word. And it's not just about reading for information. It's about reading so we can obey. Jesus gave this example. He says, the wise man's the one who built his house on the rock. The foolish man built it on the sand. What is the rock? It's not the word of God. It's obedience to the word of God. It's taking it and doing it. He who builds on the rock is the one who hears and obeys. It's not just a matter of having a book that you think is good luck charm for you, or you're trying to somehow appeal to God. God's not concerned about your feats or your accomplishments. He's concerned about your faith. Read the Word of God. Second thing, spend time in prayer every day. The Word of God's our foundation we build on. Prayer is the fuel that gives us strength to go forward. It's one thing to read it in the Word, which is very valid, very good, very positive. But when you read it in the Word and then you pray about it and God confirms it to your heart, that is when strength comes into your life. Spend time in prayer. This week on Wednesday night, I invite each one of you, I encourage you to be here this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We'll have prayer from about 6 to 6:45. We'll have people leading different parts. We'll have the prayer guide for you. Make prayer part of your daily practice. Pray on your way to work. You can watch and pray. You can drive and pray. Might even help your alertness. I don't know. Spend time in prayer. Third, develop a heart for the mission of the church. This is our function. What are we called to do? We're called to build people into the image of Jesus, for saints to be exhorted and to grow and to be strengthened, for those who are outside the kingdom to come to know Christ as Savior. We're called to build the kingdom of God. That's our mission. That's our function. We partner with people all around the world, like the McCarthys, but we also do it here in Owosso, across Oklahoma. We want to be an encouragement, an example. We embrace the mission of the church. We believe that's what we were created for. Everything else is just part of life, but this is the purpose. Number four, depend upon the Holy Spirit for daily direction. That gives us our force. That gives us our place. When you start the day off, instead of asking God to go with you, how about asking Him to lead you? Instead of putting Him on your schedule, how about saying, I'm on your schedule today, God? Give me direction. Let me hear your Spirit speak to me. Let the Word give me direction. In my time of prayer, direct my thoughts. You see, drawing close to God is the key to success in life. That's why Proverbs 1 fits in well with this sermon. That's the key to success in life. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. How many of you would like for your fuel gauge that speaks about your joy to be on full, not on empty? Now I have a little bit of joy. He says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forever. The most enjoyable life that we can know is when we spend time with God. I want to encourage you to know that drawing close to God, it's not about a particular way of doing it. It's not about the right song. It's not about, those things can all help and maybe they're okay. But can we just demolish anything that we look to as being the source rather than God? You say, God, you're the source. And it can happen when you pray around the front of the church. It can happen at your seat. It can happen in your car. It can happen in your house. It can happen when you're in the shower. It can happen as you're there sitting in a chair. God says if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And here's one thing I know about God. He takes bigger steps than we do. I think the picture of the prodigal son, which is probably more appropriately called the loving father, says that when the father saw the son a long way off, he ran to him. God longs to run to you. If you'll just reach out, He will be there. You can trust Him. More than any other simple little formula, more than any intended result, I just want to be closer to God this year than I've ever been before. I want to grow closer to Him every day. How many of you across the room would say, I want to grow close to God? I want to be near Him. Would you just stand up if that's in your heart? One of the ways that we do that, there are many, but one way is when we worship Him from a sincere heart. Would you lift your voice in song? Would you lift your hands in praise as we sing a song of worship to God? Join.